Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am still excited because we are continuing our study from the book of Isaiah. Now, we know that this study will expose all the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah. The Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, as I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or even inquire if you like. Now, before I get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you so much, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus, or God, said through Moses to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. The promise is that God will not fail you or forsake you if you are of good courage and you fear not and not be afraid of whatever confronts you, but you go to God for refuge. God said through King David, the secret of thee is with those that fear God. The secret of the meek, or the secrets of God, is with those that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's in Psalms 25, verse 14. So the promise is that God will give you his secrets if you fear him. God said through King David, the meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. Psalms 25, verse 9. Again, the promise is that if you are meek, God will guide you and teach you his ways. Now, again, the question is for this hour, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the step. We're going to go to instruction number 17 out of 101 that I've written for this series. And the text is Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. We're going to be reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. The instruction is an image of Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. An image of Jesus Christ. And this is what Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 10 says. And there shall come a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Again, we're looking at an image of Jesus the Christ to come in this prophecy that Isaiah wrote to the Israelites. Verse 4 says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now, what this is telling us in the prophecy is what exactly we read about in the book of Revelation. That's where this is pointing to. Verse 8 says, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Remember, we talked about Jesse as the father of David, and David is where the throne of Jesus Christ resides, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. It shall be where the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So that is the image of the prophecy that Isaiah is giving us about Jesus the Christ. Now what we're going to do is go to our complement. We're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. And, of course, we know this is where the apostle exposes the Jesus Christ that was identified in Isaiah's prophecy. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, this is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it now not. So we're going to complete this thought now, going to verse 15 through 17, and it's going to identify Jesus. John the Baptist bare witness to him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and he was before me, and of his fullness we have received. After the break, we will continue. Didn't work.
You can't change your past, but Christ can. Christ can change the past by covering your sins with his blood and forgiving all the sins and mistakes you ever made. That's a wonderful thing, because God has a set of tapes in which everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done and everything you've ever thought is there and will be played at the judgment. But if you come to Christ and surrender totally to him, he wipes out the tapes. He erases the tapes, and no one will ever hear them. Somebody says, follow your conscience, but your conscience may be seared, or it may be dead. It may be no good. It'll lead you wrong. You can be sincere, but be wrong. And many of you can be sincere in your beliefs and in what you're doing and the way you're living, but deep in your heart, you're wrong. You're not going according to the scriptures. You're not going according to what Christ says. And the scripture says you must come to the cross and repent of your sins and let Christ forgive your sins from the cross and wash your sins by his own blood and receive the righteousness of God. God has an ability that you don't have. He has the ability to forget. He forgets our sins. And that's the most thrilling thought in the world, is to go to bed at night and know that your sins are forgiven. Many of you must decide this afternoon. Before you leave here, every person here will decide one way or the other about your relationship to God. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Some of you need a new experience with Christ. Others of you need to come to Christ, perhaps for the first time, in total surrender of your life to him, if you're going to be forgiven of your sins, if you're going to get to heaven. What about you? Do you know Christ? Are you ready for death? Because it's coming. And for some of you, there's no way out. There's pressures and troubles and trials in your life, and difficulties and problems, and there seems to be no answer. It may be you and your wife. You just can't seem to make it. You love each other and yet you don't. And you fight and you scrap. Is there any way out? Yes, there's a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The choice that some of you make today will decide where your children are going to be, where your grandchildren are going to be, what their lives are going to be like. It's the choices that we make. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your children may live. It affected future generations. What are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we left off looking at the instruction number 17, an image of Jesus Christ. And we saw in Isaiah, in our text reading, chapter 11, verse 1 through 10, how the prophet pointed toward Jesus. And through the compliment, John chapter 1, verse 5, or verse chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, and verse 15 through 18, we actually saw that it was Jesus Christ, the one that John pointed to. Now what we want to do is I'm going to share with you what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That to us, the image of Jesus Christ today is in the workings of the Holy Ghost. The wisdom, the knowledge, the faith, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, the gentleness, all of those attributes is where we find the image of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said he would not leave us comfortless. So where do we actually draw that from? Basic instructions before leaving earth, my brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to know. That's where we find the image of Christ for us to apply. Now let's go to the next instruction, instruction 18, and we're going to be back in Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to read verse 11 through 16. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11 through 16. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as we are reading the text. Another beginning for God's people. Now, we know that there were many beginnings for God's people from the onset of Adam in the garden. Now, this is one that Isaiah is identifying in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11 through 16. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and for Elam and from Sinar and from Hathmoth and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Now, this is a mixture of new beginnings, okay? Because we know that the Assyrian captivity actually dispersed the northern tribes, and then the Babylonian captivity actually captured the southern tribes. But this is also going beyond that. This is more or less telling us about the end times. Verse 13 says, "The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim." That is, again, at the end, there shall not be any contest of peoples. It shall just be one. Verse 14 says, "But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall be shaken. He shakes his hands over the river and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over Drashah. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in that day that came up and out of Egypt." Now, we know prophecies are expansive. So parts of a prophecy can be satisfied earlier than the whole prophecy itself. That's what happens with these major prophets. And you'll find that out through our studies once we start concentrating on more of the prophets. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go into the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations. And we're going to see in the book of Revelations, chapter 19, verse 11 through 14, what I call the final beginning. This is the coup de grace. This is where we begin the eternal life. This is the revelation that gives us that information. It is chapter 19 in the book of Revelations, verse 11 through 14. And this is what it says. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." So that tells us of that new beginning, that just before we go into heaven, there is going to be the War of Armageddon and the War of Gog Magog, which when we studied the book of Revelation, we went into thoroughly. Now, what I want you to realize from this reading, this is the spiritual meaning we should take from this. that because of faith, meaning fullness and repentance, we have an opportunity while we live to have a new beginning with God after sinning. This is critical because today we, through Jesus Christ, have faithfulness and repentance that gives us, as often as we fall, as long as we're breathing in and out, we can come back to God and have our new beginning. So that's what I want you to understand from this instruction, that we can always have a new beginning with God as long as we are repentant. Now let's go to instruction number 19, and we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 1 and verse 8 and a few other verses, and this is what I want you to get from the reading of this chapter 13. I want you to look at the burden of Babylon. That's the instruction, the burden of Babylon. And this is what Isaiah said in his prophecy. Verse 13, it says, "The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see." And what I'm going to do is wait until after the break to give you the other details on this reading. But you could turn your Bible sources to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. And that's going to be the connecting scripture or complement that we'll see what it says and compares and agrees. And we'll do that after the break.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, a new mind. What I'm trying to tell you, beloved, is that you can have a new year, but it don't mean jack diddly if you don't have a new mind. I'm telling you that you can buy a new car, but if you put the old man in a new car, you still want to have the old experience. I'm telling you that a new house doesn't make a new marriage. I'm talking about a new outfit doesn't make you a new person. And if you think that when the clock strikes 12, you are magically going to be a new person, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You're just going to be an old person in a new year, because new life doesn't come by the ticking of a clock on a wall. A new life comes from a new mind and a new way of looking at your life. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. Just leave people say, I got to change my mind. I can't go into 2014 with 2013's mentality. I cannot step into the future and still think in my past. I cannot let the rumors and the stain of what they said about me destroy my opportunity. For the life of me, I've been trying to explain to people that success doesn't feel successful, that accomplishment doesn't feel accomplished, that you can arrive at a new destination and it doesn't feel like you would think it will feel before you get there. I, for the life of me, I can't explain to them how you can be blessed and other people can know that you're blessed better than you know that you're blessed. That you can be gifted and you yourself not realize that you are gifted. And people don't understand how you can be gifted and insecure, blessed and intimidated, gifted and still have to fight off your fear. I didn't understand how to make them understand.
I don't really like those words, self-help or self-management or self-improvement. I don't really like what those words have come to mean these days. Because there's a lot of people out there that are constantly trying to improve themselves by looking for the one change. The one change, right? The one change in their life that's going to make their dreams come true. And even worse, on top of that, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of self-help gurus and these hyperactive motivational speakers and these other self-appointed modern Zen yoga warriors that they're trying to sell the one thing. They're trying to sell the 9 steps or the enlightened path that's going to allow you to unlock all of your human potential and fulfill the dreams so you can live the life that you've always wanted to live. Now, I'm no guru. And I definitely don't claim to be. I'm just a man. But I will tell you this. It isn't one thing. And it isn't 10 things. And it isn't 100 things. It isn't a quick path. And there are no shortcuts. Meditation won't get you there. And neither will a miracle drug or an organic supplement or some superfood. Getting better isn't a hack or a trick or a one change that you need to make. Getting better is a campaign. It's a campaign. It's a daily, a weekly, it's an hourly fight.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on the prophecy of Isaiah, the burden of Babylon, and it's in Isaiah chapter 13, and we're reading several verses. We're going to read verse 1, verse 8, and 9, and then verse 19 through 22, and it's going to give us the gist of the burden. And this is what it says, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, and they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And then verse 19 through 22 concludes and says, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tents there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there anymore. Now we know that from that we're talking about what happened in the book of Revelations, and now that's what we're going to do in connecting the dot. We're going to go to the book of Revelations, chapter 18, verse 1 through 6, and we're going to see where the prophet pointed to the end time. And, of course, we know from the study of the book of Revelations that Babylon is representative of the world. This is what Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 through 6 says. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and of the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another angel from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive none of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she had filled to her double. Now we know that in the days of the Old Testament that Babylon actually existed as a city. I believe today the country of Iran, or maybe it's Iraq, I'm not sure. It's the country of Iraq that was considered the old Babylon. Anyway, we can see where in the New Testament it identifies the same Babylon destruction, but it's actually talking about the world. Now, this is what we should understand from this reading spiritually, what it means to us in our lives, that don't let the burdens of the flesh cause you to lose out on your salvation. That is what I'm trying to share with you as the spiritual understanding you should get from the burden of Babylon. Don't let the burdens of this world, but more especially, don't let the burdens of your flesh cause you to lose out on your salvation. Okay, let's go to instruction number 20. We're going to go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 1 out of chapter 14. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read one verse. Judah and Israel will be restored before the end. That's significant, my brothers and sisters. Judah and Israel will be restored before the end. Now, remember, we read about King Solomon and how he, because of his sin, caused the split between the southern tribes and the northern tribes of Israel. Okay, one, the southern tribe was called Judah, and the northern tribe was called Israel. They must come back together before the end. And this is what the prophet says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob." So at the end of all of what we're going to experience, this must take place. And we know to this day that the lost tribes of Israel, the northern tribes, still haven't been united with the southern tribe of Judah. Of the Jews or Jerusalem. Anyway, let's look at the complement and see how it connects. We're going to go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. And this is what is said in John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. And this is significant because this is Jesus teaching us that this prophecy is going to involve more than just Christianity. This is what John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16 says. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, this is what I'm talking about. Listen to this. "And other sheep I have," that's what Jesus just said, "and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So with that, we know that the Christians are not just going to be the only ones that are saved by Jesus Christ. And that is significant, and this is what we should understand spiritually from this instruction, that God created all of humanity and that Jesus came to save all of humanity. So we must be very careful, my brothers and sisters, about condemning others outside of Christianity. Did you hear that? Okay, so now we're getting ready to go to the break. And before we go to the break, we're going to go back. We're going to go to instruction 21. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15, and that's where we're going to start after the break.
I can. I can is a phrase we need to permanently remove from our vocabulary. In life, there's no perfect person. There are no perfect set of circumstances. All of us have areas of our lives that are less than perfect. Yet there are some that, despite their disability, find a way to do what others say they can't do. Moses was a stutterer. Isaac was blind. Mephibosheth had crippled legs. in our modern world. Albert Einstein, the mathematician, physicist, had a learning disability. He didn't speak until he was 3 years old. Yet he overcame these challenges to be known as one of the brightest men of our times. Alexander Graham Bell, Walt Disney, and George Washington all had learning disabilities. Yet they led, created, and inspired. Ludwig van Beethoven is the greatest composer and musician, and yet he was deaf. Helen Keller, who devoted her life to persons with disabilities, she was blind, deaf, and mute. What excuses are you using in your life? What things are you saying I can't do when you really could be saying I can? Get it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 21, and we're going to be using the text, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. And it's Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to. Lucifer identified. Okay, now you know we're talking about prophecies for sure in the book of Isaiah. So when I say Lucifer, this is generally been accepted, or over time, Satan has been identified as Lucifer. But when Isaiah was prophesying, even though Satan was included in this prophecy, meaning the human Lucifer, there was Lucifer was considered part of the one of the kingdoms that Israel was combating with. Those kings, or at least one of them, was named Lucifer. But anyway, not being what it may, let me go to the text and read what Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15 says. This is what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That is what ended the prophecy. Now let us connect with the New Testament, with our complement, and see what the book of Revelation has to say about this. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1 through 3, and this is what the book of Revelation has to say in identifying this person, which now we have accepted as Satan. This is what it says. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a little season. So that's the connection. Now, what I want you to understand about this spiritually is that the evil workings of the flesh and spirit identifies Satan, or satanic practices, if you will, like sexual immorality, or murder or hatred or theft or wickedness or sorcery, lying even. And there's a list of more of them in the New Testament. The thing is that that is what gets us in trouble today with God. It is not the sin per se. It's the working of the sin. And it is working through the flesh and the spirit. And I just identified a few. And that's what I want you to pay attention to. If you are doing things like that, you are involved in that practice. Now let us go to instruction number 22. We're going to go back to the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at chapter 14, verse 21 through 22. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. Now, the text again is Isaiah chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. And this is the instruction. The children punished for their father's sin. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? This is going to be significant. The children punished for their father's sin. That kind of intimates to me that there's an inheritance that is received from our forefathers that causes us to be in the jeopardy that we're in today. Now, this is what Isaiah chapter 14, verse 21 and 22 says. It says, prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. We know that because of sin, and we can take it from the Old Testament, from the Garden of Eden, when God told Adam, who told you you were naked? And the day that have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. That is an inheritance that we have. And that's an indication of this when the prophet talks about it in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. And what we're going to do is quickly, let's go to Exodus so I can tell you and give you the information of where that came from. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to be reading verse 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. And this is a substantiation of that in the commandments. This is what God told Israel at Mount Sinai when he gave them the first 10 commandments auditably at the mountain. Verse 5 says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And he was talking about graven images. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. This is my brothers and sisters, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So in that text itself, from way back in the Old Testament times, it is telling us that there is going to be vengeance upon the children of the fathers that sin. And it also identifies that there's going to be mercy upon those who love him. And that mercy is the grace of Jesus Christ that gives us repentance. Now, what we're going to do is look at what the complement has to say about this. We're going to go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to go to chapter 2, Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 18 through 23, and we're going to see what the Spirit says to the church concerning the same. Revelations chapter 2, verse 18 through 23, and this is what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not, behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulations, except they repent of their deeds. That tells us, and verse 23 concludes, and after the break, we'll go to verse 23, and that'll tell us about this inheritance.
One of the most coveted words is the word happiness. John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. If I did again a survey and I ask each one of you watching Minute with Maxwell right now, raise your hand if you want happiness. We'd have our right hand up. We'd have our left hand up. We'd try to probably get our foot up there. I mean, we would do everything to basically illustrate that we want to have happiness. And yet, so many times we miss happiness because we think it's out there. And so we pursue happiness. And what we need to discover is the fact that happiness is not a place that you go or a status that you attain. Happiness is an inside job. That when I am content, happy, satisfied, pleased within myself, that everybody and everything will bring happiness around me. Just as if I'm displeased on the inside, there's nothing that will bring me pleasure or happiness on the outside. Happiness is not an outside job. It's an inside job. Happiness is not something that someone brings to me or gives to me. It's something I bring to myself and give myself. So give yourself today the gift of happiness. It's your choice. And guess what? The moment that you are happy within, there's a whole bunch of happiness that you're going to experience on the outside. Thanks for being with us today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are on instruction number 22, and we left off with the instruction, the children punished for their father's sin. And we already identified what the prophet said about it in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 21 and verse 22. And we substantiated that with reading a chapter 20 from the book of Exodus that identified in the law itself that God gave to the Israelites that it told us about that punishment. And then we were reading in the book of Revelations chapter 2, where the Spirit speaking to the church at Thyatira reiterated that at the end of the experience we're going to have this side of eternity as one of the instructions that we must respond to. And the verse 23 was the verse I left off at that tells us about the children being punished for what the fathers have done. It says, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." So that tells us that there are going to be, from the knowledge of good and evil, those who have spawned good, there shall be a heritage of good. But those that spawn evil, there shall be a heritage of evil. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must be aware that evil exists. And it has been passed on through us in our heritage. That's the key. And because of repentance, again, my brothers and sisters, we have that opportunity to start afresh. And that's what we want to make sure that we are doing. We're being repentant. For those who are not repentant, they are under the scourge of that prophecy. Now let's go to instruction number 23. We're going back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. We're going to be reading verse 24 through verse 29. The book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 24 through 27. And we're going to look at this instruction as we read. I want you to pay attention to this instruction as we read the text. The instruction is God's declaration can only be revealed by God. God's declarations can only be revealed by God. And this is what Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24 through 27 says about that. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrians in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Again, in our book of Revelations, it tells us that Jesus is the one that's going to come, mounted with his host, and free us from the yoke of what has been established in the world today. Verse 26 says, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and that is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Now, to substantiate that, I should say, to add more clarity or maybe finalization to what the prophet just said about God's declarations can only be revealed by God, meaning that's my instruction. But this is what Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And this is what Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not come back to be void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And that is what gives us substantiation of God's declaration can only be revealed by God. Now, what we want to do is go to the New Testament. We want to go to our complement. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 27, and see what Jesus has to say about this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 through 27, and this is how Jesus declares it. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So Jesus is telling us that God is the one that makes the declarations and reveals himself accordingly. And we have to rely on that. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we as Christians must share the word of God as we know it and let God reveal it to whomever hears it as he does it. Now, what I'm meaning when I'm saying that is that all we can do is plant and water. We know that Paul teaches us that we only have a measure of faith. Each of us has a portion of faith, and that portion of faith will only give us so much of an awareness, just like a first grader and a 10th grader. The first grader can only understand as much as they have been taught or been exposed to, and the 10th grader has to understand that all that he can do or they can do is teach the first grader at their pace. And if they don't understand it, it'll only come with maturity. And the same way with us, we must plant and water, and God will add the increase. That's what I'm trying to share with you. Now let's go back to instruction number 24. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 15, and we're going to look at a few verses, verse 1, verse 3, in verse 7 through 9 in Isaiah chapter 15. And this is what we're going to read about. We're going to read about another burden. The instruction says the burden of Moab. Now, this is what Isaiah says about the burden of Moab in Isaiah chapter 15, verse 1. It says, the burden of Moab, because in the night of error of Moab is laid waste and is brought to silence. Because in the night, Kir of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. Verse 3 continues and says, in their streets they shall girt themselves with sackcloth on the tops of their houses. And in their streets everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. And it concludes in verse 7 through 9 saying, therefore, the abundance they have gotten and that which they have laid up shall they carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry is gone round about the borders of Moab, the howling thereof unto Eglaim, and the howling thereof unto Beryllium. For the waters of Dimon shall be full of blood, for I will bring more upon Dimon's loins, upon him that escaped of Moab, and upon the remnant of the land. Now we learn from, well, one of my other lessons I taught about Moab came from the lineage of Lot. And of course, Lot laid, or his daughters laid with him, and his oldest daughter, she was the one that conceived, and the Moabites were the heritage that came from that incest. And so we know that that is against God's laws, even though at the time in the book of Genesis, the law hadn't been established, but that's beside the point. It was against God's laws, and eventually Moab, or you can see that they were destroyed. Now what we're going to do is go to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and we're going to see how Paul identified this. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and this is what Paul says. For the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Paul said, for the wages of sin is death, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that is speaking to us more voluminously, if you will, that because of sin, death is our burden. And that falls upon all men. We just talked about the inheritance that the children punished for their father's sin. That is where we connect this. And what we should understand spiritually from this is that the burden of the workings of the flesh causes us, meaning the sins of the flesh, to suffer. That is why we suffer, my brothers and sisters. And that's what I'm trying to share with you in this instruction, that because of the workings of the flesh, we suffer. And that is through the inheritance we've received from Adam because of the knowledge of good and evil. So that completes the lesson for this evening. Now, what I want to do is, because it's completed, I am going to go quickly over and review what we've read tonight, since we have like 1 minute left. And we want to look at instruction number 17. It talked about the image of Jesus Christ. And we looked at another beginning for God's people. We looked at the burden of Babylon. Judah and Israel will be restored before the end. We looked at Lucifer being identified, the children punished for their father's sins. God's declaration can only be revealed by God. And finally, the burden of Moab. So now that we've completed the lesson for tonight,
thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.
Delaney suggested that.